Today on Real Radio.
David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, he said, I will not give God anything that doesn't cost me. Have you ever received a gift from somebody and they're trying to communicate to you how much they love you, and so they give you something that's of great value?
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. Chapter 20 and verse 45, and then the first few verses of chapter 21, address quite the sensitive topic, money. The Messiah was actually contrasting real people and how they handle their God-given wealth, great or small. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Worth of Worship.
But as he looks up in verses 1 and 2, he sees the rich giving and he sees this certain poor widow. Can you circle the word certain? Notice this. It's applied to the widow woman. A certain poor widow. It's not a certain rich man. This means Jesus has an appointment with this person. Whenever you see the word certain, this is a serious thing. So as people are making their way to put money in, that's what is expected. You're to do that. By the way, the Bible tells us in Exodus 23:15, it not only applied then, it applies to us today. Exodus 23:15 says, no one is to appear before God empty-handed. Did you know that? You're supposed to come and give to God. When you came in today, did you come singing? Did you come to fellowship? Did you come to study? Did you come to give? God says, when my people come to me, they're not to come empty-handed. Why? That's a sign of respect and love and adoration. Listen, if you were invited to the White House or to see the Queen of England, you go with a gift. In fact, those who work for those people will tell you, now, Jack, when you come, you got to bring a gift. Well, what kind of gift? It's got to be unique. Oh, that's great. How much is this going to cost? So you go there and you get a unique gift and it's supposed to be very special to you and it's supposed to mean a lot to you and you're supposed to give it to the one that you're honoring as an act of obeisance, it's called. Not necessarily worship as is due to God. It's less than that, but it's to show great appreciation. Everybody with me? When heads of state come together, they bring gifts. It's protocol. And so when the Queen of England came, or when Barack Obama met the Queen of England, he was given an amazing bust from some tremendous sculptor. I don't even know who the guy's name is, of Winston Churchill. I guess it's like very, very valuable stuff. And what did Barack Obama give the Queen of England? An iPod. An iPod. You say, well, now look, we can't judge that iPod. You may say, that's an embarrassment. Well, it was viewed around the world as a huge embarrassment to the Queen of England. I do understand that. However, we do not know the value of that iPod to Barack Obama's heart. It may have been his own personal iPod that had his most favorite songs. Come on, give the guy, be nice. Give him the benefit of the doubt. It could have been a really awesome iPod. He gave it to the Queen of England. Maybe it doesn't mean anything to you, but it didn't mean anything to her. I already heard about that in the news, but it meant a lot to him, I think. It's what we give to God that matters. It's not necessarily the street or market value. Okay? Now pay attention to that. That's vitally important. Why? Because mark it down. Number one, worship is an individual act, and it cannot be compared to anything else. It's amazing. When he looked up and he saw the rich giving their gifts into the treasury, stop right there, you automatically think like I do, hey, if I were back then, that's where I'd want to be. I would want to be one of the rich guys putting in money for God. Why? Well, you're rich, and you're giving a lot for God. Maybe. What was in their heart? What did they mean? Now, let's be honest. There are rich people who are selfish and stingy, and there are rich people who are generous and kind and benevolent. Being rich is not a sin. Loving money is a sin. Look, you can be as poor as the day is long and love the concept of money, and you can be sinning just as much as a rich man who loves his money. It's not what you have, it's what you're doing with what you got. Where is it in aspects and relationships to your heart? It cannot be compared to anything else. Notice that Jesus was near and around the temple area. Mark's Gospel chapter 12 blows my mind. This is amazing. Mark it down. You're going to write this down. Mark 12, 41 says, as Mark records this account, same event, it says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put their money into the treasury. Did you hear that? Are you guys here? How people put their money in. See, what's that a big deal for? Check this out. Mark it down. It's Matthew chapter 6. This is, you're going to think I'm joking. Matthew chapter 6. How? How they gave? Yep. Matthew 6, 2 says, therefore, when you do your charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet before, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. See, what are you talking about? Yeah, when these guys used to pass by that little toll booth for tithing, they had, I kid you not, hang on, my ring's too tight, I have to pull it off. Okay, you see this ring? They put a ring on their pinky like this. They had a ring, and it had a little horn on it. And they'd go like this. They'd walk along, and they'd take their money. Boom! And then walk away. Can you believe this? That's what they did. That's why Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites who blow a trumpet when they do their charitable giving in front of people. Can you imagine doing that? Hey, everybody, hey, let me have your attention. I'm going to give $1,000 a day. You're welcome. You're all welcome. And you put it in. Can you imagine? They did that. By the way, I'm not kidding. You're going to think I'm kidding when I tell you this. I'm not kidding. When they did that, they blew the horn and they gave money. We have the saying today, you shouldn't toot your own. This is where it came from these guys. That's how they gave. Our giving to God has to be an individual effort, and it's not for people to see. It's something that is of the heart. No one is to tell you what to give. I found it very interesting. Now, if I don't upset you, I'm going to upset some friends of mine who do what I'm about to tell you. I personally think, maybe because I'm an old man now, but I personally think that it is wrong to have your tithing automatically taken out of your check every month and deposited into the church of your liking. I think it's wrong. You want to know why? You don't miss it that way, do you? It's so convenient. It's just done. You know, I just rack it up as one of those bills that I pay. How would your wife say, you know what, honey, I'd like to be with you, you know, and then well, I tell you what, sweetie, I don't have the time for you right now, so here's a picture of me. I'll see you later. You think that'd go over big? Worship is a personal thing between you and God. It's not about icons, images, and pictures and easy electronic fund transfer accounts. It's to be an act that you literally do. And you take the time. It should be costly. It should be an inconvenience to get up and to go to church. Or in this case, the widow came from her little widow house and walked down to Widow Street and gave the widow mites. And she did that. It cost her something. Today, we just go, well, you know what? Do I fill out an auto deduction form? We could do that here in this church. And I have friends who have churches that you don't even tithe. They just automatically take it. Or you can take your credit card in the foyer and swipe your credit card and it removes it from your account. Listen, I don't know if that's worship. It needs to happen. It needs to be. See, yeah, you are old, Pastor. Hey, I think it's an act of love. You don't love from a remote distance. It's face to face. And I think it's important. It cannot be compared to anything else. Every time you and I have the opportunity to give in the act of worship, be it singing, service, or time, or money, it is a great opportunity and avenue to tell God, Lord, I love you. When you come into church, are you like this? Oh man, you know what? Did we miss the offering? Did we? Oh no, they're taking it. Let's walk around the building one more time. Oh, look at that. You guys, God sees that. He knows that. You're fooling us. But listen, God sees it. He sees it. You guys, it has nothing to do, listen, it has nothing to do with you giving money to God. It has everything to do with you giving back to God what belongs to Him. Amen. You say, wait a minute, I worked hard for that money. He gave you the feet and the legs, the nose, the ears, and the brain, and the lungs to get to work. It all belongs to Him. Can you imagine? Well, Lord, you know, I can't give you anything this week because it's been a tough week. Can you imagine God saying, you know what? It's been a really tough week. I can only give you about 30% of the oxygen because it's kind of short. Can you imagine?
God, help me.
It's been a tough week, Jack, up here in heaven. That's all the air I can spare. We are not to deal with God on that kind of a plane. Isn't it interesting that it's money that's the issue? Believe me, Jesus said, watch out. Your heart will be divided. Either you will be loyal to one thing and despise the other, or you'll cling to one and resist the other. You cannot serve God and what? Mammon. Exactly. Mammon, the god of money. You cannot serve God or money. They compete against our will, our desire, our hope. Secondly, under this point, look at verse 2. Worship is an individual act. Nobody can take that place for us, even though we even sit here corporately today. It's a private thing. And it doesn't depend upon who I am in life. I love that. Jesus saw the rich people giving money, and Jesus saw a certain poor widow giving money. God sees everybody giving whatever they give. And let me add this, whatever you give, my friend, to God is never lost. Oh, I need to say that again for me. Whatever we give for God and unto God is never lost. It's never forgotten. I'm thinking about right now, can you imagine? I don't know about you, but I've been saving money since I was a kid. I'm a tightwad. And when I started working at a global corporation, and when I was 21 years old, I started paying into the 401k plan. Okay, and I paid in it all the way from when I was 21 years old till it went under. Recently. And I, you know, it's like, this is retirement. Look at this. Oh, look at that. It's up 17%. Oh, look at that. Up 23%. Oh, look, up 10%. And then reality hit. And it's gone. And so then they tell you, well, you'd have to live now from the age you're at 51 years old. You have to live another 62 years to get it back. So you start thinking, 51, 62. And then I start thinking, you know what? Wait a minute. Can you imagine, Lord, if I could have that money back now, knowing that the world is going down the hole anyhow, let me have it back, God, and I'll give it to your work is where it should have gone in the first place. And trusted you for my future, Lord. Oh, that sounds really sweet. Now, that sounds awesome now, man. Because you know what? Didn't Jesus say you need to lay up in heaven your treasures where moth or rust nor thieves, Bernie Madoffs, and IRS cannot break in and steal? Huh? Listen, and by the way, the amount of taxes that we're all going to be paying soon, you know, taxes is tithing to the government. And I told you guys before, Samuel Adams saw that as an offense to the tithing to God. We're going to have less to invest to the glory and to the kingdom of God because we're going to be tithing to the little g government. That's called tyranny, by the way. You say, well, what do we do? What do we do? We do exactly what the widow woman did. We do exactly that. It doesn't depend upon who I am in life. You see, Jack, well, I'm a rich guy today. God bless you. You might say today, I'm a poor man today. God bless you. It's what are you doing with what you have, and are you giving to God, listen, to the point where it is truly worship? Let me explain. Giving back to God what rightly belongs to Him exposes the reality of my faith in God. Do I really believe in God? It will be seen by my giving to the Lord. Not to you, not to me, to God. Also this, when I give to God, it causes me to get involved in ministry. You say, wait, how does giving... Oh, because when you begin to give to God's work, you begin to want to know, where's this going to go? Huh? Remember those 13 boxes I told you about at the temple? Guess what? Each of the 13 boxes were labeled in Jerusalem. Support for this, support for that, for the needy, for the homeless, for the temple, for the... They were listed. If you give, you begin to think all of a sudden. Allow me to put it this way. You've got skin in the game. I'm involved in my church. How is it? I give. You give at economic hard times like this. Listen, some people say, oh man, not me. I can't afford to give. A.W. Tozer told someone who told him that, Pastor Tozer, I can't afford to give. I can't afford to tithe. A.W. Tozer said, I can't afford not to tithe. Are you a Christian? Yep. You are commanded by God to be giving back to him monetary income that he has given you. Why? That's the reason. How come? Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Exactly. That's exactly how it works. You see, if we've got our little claws dug into it, in fact, can I preempt you guys in something in the booth back there? Do you guys have the Daffy Duck clip ready to go? Yeah?
It's mine, you understand? Mine! All mine! Get back in there! Down, down, down! Go, go, go! Mine, mine, mine!
Look at that! Look! Christians can go like that! Did you hear what Daffy was saying? See, I told you guys, that's from my theological library. Mine, mine, mine. He saw it. Whoa! And the Bible warns us that those who desire to be rich will pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Look at Daffy Duck. He turned into an absolute maniac. His eyes got all beady. Oh, he saw the gold. He went crazy. Listen, if you begin, and God help this church, to never, never see any blessings from God in the way of dollars. Are you a Christian today? Don't ever think that you're being blessed by dollars. Did you make a big sale and you made $80 on that sale? Did you make $1 million on that deal? Listen, don't call it dollars anymore, Christian. You're not allowed to call it dollars anymore. I tell you about the behind-scenes workings of this church. The board, when we look at what God has blessed this church to do, with what God has given this church to do, we call it tools. It's all tools. You got 1,000 tools? 1,000 tools can build stuff. You start talking about money. If you tiptoe around your house, money. It's going to consume you. But if you begin to think about it as tools, watch what God does with it. Tools are for building things. A Christian should look at it that way always. Also this. Look at this. It says, and he saw the woman put in 2 mites. It's a personal encounter, my friend. It's a personal encounter with God when you and I worship him individually. When you put money, an offering, in to the worship of God, it is a personal encounter. Something is happening. That's why we struggle with it so much. Worship is a discipline. And it's something that we need to exercise. I'm going to invoke my pastoral authority here in a moment. And have you hear this out. Did you see how Jesus was watching how people were giving? Now, personally, I see to it that I do not know who in this church gives money. I refuse to know. I know how the money is spent. I know how much comes in, and I know how much goes out. If you begin to know who gives what, then it's going to mess up your judgment should some day come when you've got to rebuke Mr. Moneybags, you know. So I don't want to know. Which I love the freedom in that. Everybody to me is exactly the same. I don't know who, what, nothing. Here's a sweet thing. When we go to worship, there is one thing I watch because it's important to me and I'm praying for you. When we're worshiping in song, there are Christians who worship, and we worship in all kinds of ways, right? Don't we? Sometimes we're just reverently silent, okay? Then there's people who lift their hands. Then there's people who kind of sway a little bit, okay? Then there are people, it's just different, but we're worshiping. And then there's people, because I'm watching. Sorry, I'm telling you now. Then there's people that are going like this. And it's like, what? Look, who's that? Oh, then I see people and I say, it's praise the Lord that there's non-believers here, that they're coming to church because they don't know what's going on. I say, what? I don't like that song. It's kind of a dumb song. They don't get it. They think the song's about them. Oh, look, they sing some. These are songs I like. Cool. It's not about you. Oh, wasn't worship good today? Oh, yeah, I really like those songs. They didn't sing them for you. They were for God. And when you don't know God, you don't dig worship. You don't understand it. It's like, what is this? A big waste. So remember how you walked around the building a few times to ditch giving? You keep walking to ditch the songs. Because it doesn't make sense to you. Because you never encountered him. But when you encounter him, I'm very aware that this shirt belongs to him. The shoes that I have on, they're his. Didn't Job say, naked I came and naked I go? Blessed be the name of God. Listen, worship is a personal encounter with the Lord. The more we worship him, the less you and I own and the more we enjoy. Go figure that one out. That'll take you the rest of the day. God owns it all. You have an airplane, ski boat, you have a basketball, you have a car, moped, bicycle, it's God's. The more you understand he owns it all, the more you get to be free and enjoy. The moment you begin to hoard things up is when you begin to get ulcer, you get all panicky, and you're all paranoid because somebody might want your stuff. It's a weird way to live. Point number two, check this out. Point number two, the worth of worship is this, found in verse 3. Worship is an extravagant offering. It's an extravagant offering. You guys, when we come in, now look, this is Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel does things plain. Look at the carpets, the same color as the walls. Pretty boring. Seats are the same color as the walls and the carpet. Boring. Big rock wall. Look how big this rock wall is. Boring, made out of plastic. I said, Pastor, I came here because I thought it was real. No. But when we come to worship the Lord, it needs to be for real. It doesn't matter if it's in this building or on the side of a hill. The truth of the matter is it should be extravagant. Didn't the kings from the east come to see Jesus as baby Jesus? And wasn't that lavish and incredible Christmas gift and just extravagant? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh? This leads us to understand that it's transcendent. Worship is an awesome thing because it transcends our human status. Listen, you cannot be too rich or too poor. You are to worship. It's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Listen to this. Jesus says, give. Watch what happens. It will be measured to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put back into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Worth of Worship. It's a look at one of the times that the Messiah addressed the issue of money, one of the most sensitive of topics. It's a look at Luke chapter 20 and verse 45 on into the next chapter, and part of our teacher's verse-by-verse examination of this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And if you haven't visited the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit. In fact, click the tab Radio Reaction and see how Real Radio is affecting the lives of other believers. Then, of course, if you've got something to share with us, let us know. You can tell us right then and there, realradioactive.org, and click the tab Radio Reaction. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll free, 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.